Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk. This is the podcast where we discuss the CBS hit show Supergirl. In this case, we are discussing the season one finale. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is Tim.
Oh, I thought you were going to usually give me a fun nickname. What is this? And here's Tim.
Great. Here's my season finale friend, Tim.
Yeah, we are no longer friends for the next 3 to 4 months until we have to start being friends again.
The finale of our friendship.
The season finale of our friendship, not the series finale.
Well, it hasn't
of our
been
friendship.
Picked up for season two yet, so we'll see if our friendship continues.
You know, as soon as we release this, the next day, they're going to be like, Supergirl renewed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know that's how it's going to happen.
That's how it goes.
All the time that happens to us.
Oh yeah. Constantly. Mm-hmm. How's it going, Tim?
It's going real well. It's going real well. My cat's playing with my feet. I've got a weird man next to me that's not
what?
You.
Wait. And, Let's back that up. Weird man next to you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
See?
It is everyone's favorite guest star.
Oh, no.
Cue an applause.
Oh, no. Wait.
How do you Kramer into a podcast? can you storm in with your voice?
You can just imagine I come through the door.
Yeah. Well, I watched you come through the door.
And it's better that I'm over here, because now you know I can't kidnap Frank.
You're right.
I was going to say, I feel like I should be fearing for my life. That's why I kind of said, oh, no. Anyway, how you doing, Palmer?
I am good. How about you?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about the finale.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Excited to have you along with us today, because we have some fun stuff to discuss. But before we get into the finale, let's get into some listener emails, why don't we? I've got one here from Victor. It says, hello, my friends. Love your show. Never miss an episode. First time writing to you. Thank you, Victor. I wanted to see what you guys think. Supergirl and Kat clearly respect each other. They had a beautiful chemistry last episode. Don't you think Kara should let her into her secret? Unless Kat already knows, you know, Kat won't betray her even though she is a media mogul. That's what I think. Hopefully my email makes it into your show. Keep up the good work. Gonna miss the show during the break. Well, thanks again, Victor. So obviously, you know, having now seen the finale, Kara didn't let Kat in on her secret identity, but do you think that's something that we might see coming down the line at any point? Do you think she'll, you know, even though she went to all this effort to hide it and use Jean to keep it a secret, do you think there's a chance, guys, that she might ever let Kat in on her secret?
Well, first, I didn't know that Dr. Doom was a fan of the TV show Supergirl, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Victor Von Doom.
You have one listener in Latveria.
Yeah. They only allow one listener at a time in Latveria, and that's Dr. Doom.
I'll take it.
I think that she is pretty satisfied in thinking that Supergirl and Kara are two different people because of that, the Jon Jones trick. She's eventually going to find out? Yeah, probably.
You do think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I hope she doesn't, because
I'm not saying she's going to find out in the hopeful season two premiere.
Right.
You know.
No. It's one of those things. I still hold out hope that someone can have a secret identity at one point. But that taken out of account.
There's like 20 other people in that office that don't know.
Well, yeah, there was
Kelly doesn't know.
Well, Kelly will never
know. Kelly will never know anything ever
Kelly
again.
Kelly will never know.
I miss Kelly so much every day.
Oh, we all do. We all do.
I don't. I'm sure she'll find out at some point, because she's kind of supposed to be the Perry White, right? And Perry never finds out Superman's secret.
Valid point.
But Perry is never really involved on the same level that in like a mentor-mentee relationship, the way that with Clark as the way that Kat is with Kara.
I think it's apples and oranges, because every version of Perry White that we've seen as far as TV, it's always the secret identity comes first. And with these shows now, it's the whole thing of in today's age, can you really have a secret identity? And if you can't, then who do you trust to tell?
That's true.
That's a good point. I think Tim, I think you presented a good like both sides of the argument there of like, you know, on the one hand, Perry never finds out. On the other hand, Perry's not as close.
Frank likes me more than you.
No, but Palmer raises a good point that it really is a very different, like, you know, you could find a version of Perry White where, you know, where that's the case, like, because there are so many different versions of him. And we haven't really seen a version like that, but, you know, it's sort of like up to your interpretation. So I don't know. I kind of doubt that we'll ever see her really know. I think they went to so much trouble to hide the secret identity that I think it will remain secret. And like Palmer said, like, it's, you know, why does no one really seem to keep their secret identity secret anymore? And I know it's been in recent years, writers and creators have been exploring that a little bit more, right? Of like, let's have everyone find out the identity sort of little by little. And these DC shows are no different. But I would kind of like to see it kept a secret identity, at least for a while, from as many people as possible. That's just me.
Yeah. She'll end up saving her and she'll figure it out.
Yes, yeah, maybe sooner or later it could be.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Victor Von Doom, for that email. Next email comes from Michael. Hello, Michael here. Big fan of the show and podcast. First time commenter. Great performances by everyone this week. Cat's a gem every week. She is so meta. She might have been near the reactor on Flash when it exploded.
Oh, that was a good joke. That was a good joke. He needs to be out. This is a... That's a pun worthy of the show.
It is a pun worthy of the show. That's good. Hats off to you, Michael. Round one with Indigo was incredible. Speaking of Indigo and Non, I am really digging their strange and creepy relationship. I am sure if Indigo wanted to, she could betray Non, go off planet, and use Mariad to take over other planets and come back in season two with a huge army.
She kind of hinted at that.
She kind of hinted that
was pretty much their plan.
Right.
Take over the galaxy, yeah. She was basically telling him to... And, but you're right, she did sort of hint that, like, if he didn't, she would.
Oh, yeah. Either
you know? So,
go along with me in my, you know, my claw hand, or, you know...
Or I'll do it without you, but one way or another, this is happening.
I'll get you next time, Gadget!
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's... No.
Yeah, well, he goes on to say, I would love to see Supergirl and Jean go after her and stop her to save the galaxy. And on the way, they bump into the Legion. I'd fanboy so hard. Lucy would hold down the fort with Wynn working at the DEO full time. I'm not confident James will survive the finale. We'll see. Also, Max is someone I love to hate. You can't have Alex and Kat. Sorry, I think he meant you can't hate Alex and Kat. Those women will beat the mess out of you if you
are
too
timing. No, I
think
he means he can't have
them. Oh, you can't have right. Alex and
Nobody
Kat.
Can,
you're
really.
Right. Yeah. Yes, right.
No,
right.
Yeah.
Those women
he knew what
the...
he was doing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Those women beat the mess out of you if you're too timing. It's a lose-lose scenario for you, Max. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Some very interesting ideas here. Yeah, the Indigo stuff is interesting. The idea of her, you know, going off the reservation and going off on her own. Not quite what we saw in the finale, but an interesting alternate story. Definitely, I would have liked to have seen something like that. And the running into the Legion is a really cool idea. That would be a really cool way to bring that about. And honestly, they could still do something like that.
Legion is from the future, though, so it would have been very strange, I think.
Well, I think he's talking about in the future season two.
Like, no, they're further into the future than just season two.
Well, yeah, but he's saying he's saying like you're such a smartass, Tim. He's saying it would be cool to see Indigo and Non go off planet, and then while Supergirl and Jean go after them into space, they run into the Legion. You know, presumably
right.
time
but
traveling.
The Legion isn't hanging out in the 21st century space. They're hanging out in 31st century.
You don't know what they
space.
Do on their Friday night.
Well, but we've seen lots of stories where. Either the Legion comes to the past.
Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind them running into the Legion, but I want more of than just like, we just happen to be in space in the 21st century.
I mean, it's a good idea. I think it's extremely problematic. There's a good chunk of people who are fanboys that have no knowledge of the Legion.
So you're saying the audience wouldn't really appreciate it?
I think a good portion of the audience would. But I think there's a lot of story you need to fill in.
I absolutely disagree. I think that we've seen the Legion on live action television before, and
I couldn't name one of them.
Smallville didn't watch it, but many millions of people did.
I will be though.
Yeah, right. Yes. So Yes, I have summer plans for you. Yes. but so there was very little backstory needed or described. It's not necessary because by that point, you would need to say, like, we need backstory for who Brainiac is before we introduce Indigo. But that's not true. You did not. Like, you can say it's Brainiac 7 or it's Brainiac 9 or it's Brainiac 17 or it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, because people just kind of roll with that information. They're used to not knowing everything.
I would make the argument that Brainiac is used more than the Legion, so you can get away with it. I don't think the Legion is used nearly enough.
I disagree. I don't think a made audience knows the difference between the Legion of Superheroes and Brainiac.
You know,
I don't think so either.
I think your main audience knows your heavy hitters. They know your Supermans, they know your Batmans, they know your Lex Luthers and your Jokers, and then you're running pretty thin after, you know, like after that. So if you throw the name Brainiac out there, that does not mean anything to them beyond you're a smart person.
I would agree with that, but I would say, you know, to counter that a little bit, I think that most mainstream audiences probably don't know Livewire either, probably don't know Red Tornado either, but we saw those in this show. And I think that the Legion has such a rich history with Supergirl in comics that sooner or later we will be seeing the Legion on this show, enough time.
We saw the Legion ring on Supergirl.
And on Supergirl,
Glad you watched the show with me every week. The Berlanti shows do nothing by accident that way. You know, when we mention Nanda Parbat on Arrow, that means we eventually see somebody from the League of Assassins, which means we eventually get Ra's al Ghul. You know, you see a Legion ring, you get a time-traveling space pod, we'll talk about that later. You know, eventually you see Legion of Superheroes.
So, then by your things, we should see Superman, right? We saw his boots.
Yeah, we saw his boots and his knees. He had great knees.
He had really nice knees.
Yeah. All right. We're digressing a tad bit. Yeah. let us carry on. We still haven't even... Let's talk about the episode. Let's keep going.
Into the episode. Yeah. We'll close out the mailbag. Thank you guys all for writing in. SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com is the way to do that. And please keep writing in because even after this podcast goes live, you know, we will be doing podcasts over the summer. So having some listener feedback is always valuable. Listen, before we head into the finale recap, let's talk real quick about our good friends over at Supergirl.tv. These guys have been sponsoring us all season long, and really, really happy to still have them with us. This is the great, great place to get all the news updates. You know, you're gonna want to get your fix of Supergirl news and updates during the hiatus here before we hear when season two gets announced for the official start date. So head over to Supergirl.tv and see what's going on. We've got, you know, news. We've got a gallery of images, videos, all the different TV appearances of the different actors and creators of the show. When season two kind of gets closer, some spoilers, things like that will be appearing up here. And of course, you know, you've got the forum. You've got all these different things to talk about with your fellow fans. So head on over there. Follow them on Twitter as well. Supergirl TV site is where you can do that on Twitter. And get all the latest updates at all times. These guys have really, really been great. And they are a labor of love. They are the place that, you know, really does all of the best coverage of the Supergirl show. So check them out. Tell them we sent you. Thanks so much to Supergirl.tv for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk all season long. So let's get into it here, guys.
I'm going to open my little red notebook for the last time.
Oh, man.
This season. Got to be hopeful.
Hopeful like that message. But we're not there yet because I go in order.
Hopetimistic.
Supergirl, episode 20, season finale, otherwise entitled Better Angels, premiering on April 18th,
2016.
You forgot there. I was so close. Directed by Larry Tang, friend and listener of the show.
That's right.
Indeed. And executive producer. I'm going to stop rattling things. Okay. So we start off with the Alex Supergirl fight. that we were promised last week.
Yes.
Did it deliver, my friends? Did it deliver?
It was a little on the short side. It was a little on the quick side. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was quick, and I would say the beginning of the show actually made me wish for one more episode this season.
That it did its job well.
Yeah, well, that's
it gave
true.
You wanting more.
Oh yeah, well, it was going to do that regardless. But I mean, I would have liked to have seen more from the fight. Mm-hmm. But with all the stuff they still had to get to,
I was going to say this is a jam-packed episode. I think it would have been possible to have that fight go any longer without sacrifice either the fight at the end or a lot of the emotional beats of the story. I thought the fight was a great length for what we want, because any further, Kara really would have started to having to like hurt Alex as opposed mm-hmm. to just kind of like duck away.
Yeah.
But I thought the choreography and everything was really cool. I really enjoyed Alex's Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat, you know, mech mm-hmm. battle suit. And I'm always a fan of a sword fight, particularly when that sword's made of kryptonite.
Yes.
You actually just led me into a point accidentally. I don't know if you guys have really talked about this at length, but there seems to be some inconsistencies with the kryptonite on the season of the show.
We have talked about this
as far as the effects.
As far as how it affects Kara.
Yeah, we have talked about this.
Where they've gone before with the, you know, full out, I'm automatically weak because kryptonite is within the vicinity mm-hmm. to it's on the blade. She should be somewhat weakened by it. But she doesn't show it. And I actually like that version of it better.
Yeah, I think that's something that we've seen in almost every version of the Superman mythos, right? Kryptonite is as powerful or as weak as it kind of needs to be for most stories.
Yep.
And that's just sort of the way it's always been.
I think, and it's not even that, but I think like sheer force of will also overdoes kryptonite a lot of the times.
Well, you can also dilute it with water.
Yeah. You know, little known fact about kryptonite.
Well, what I liked about this show in particular is that they have always done like the kryptonite room where you can ramp it up or turn it down, mm-hmm. like having an actual dial that controls
the amount of kryptonite exposure.
I like that. I buy that.
It's like mood lighting.
Yes. Well, it's like mood lighting.
My impression of the kryptonite sword is that I could be wrong on this, but to like. To have enough kryptonite like that and to craft it into such a blade and to keep it sharp and all that stuff, it would like whittle down. So I always kind of assumed that like the kryptonite blade was like almost like, I don't know, like inside something else. So there's like a barrier between the kryptonite. So it's effective and sharp and whatever else, but it doesn't weaken people when close to it.
I could see that if you didn't see it just glowing green.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a see-through metal.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, just because they've never said that, I don't necessarily
subscribe
to it.
You all know what I'm like with my headcanons. So,
you do love your headcanons, Tim.
Look, I majored in English. I can make stuff up about stories like the best of them.
You're a very, very creative, creative person.
I can see insight and canon when there's nothing there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we call that insanity.
No, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Like being friends with
week?
You.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey. Okay. So, fight aside, Jean brings in Eliza Danvers for her to be like, "No, but the stuff and your dad and whatever else." And Alex is like, "My dad, you're right. I can't fight Kara." You know. I
Why
give
did
up
you say
on
that
this.
Name?
What? That's what I thought of too. Why did you say Jeremiah? Why did you say his name? That was your father's name. That was your father's name and my father's name. No, it was my husband's name. Ah, this is a confusing conversation.
It was edited out for time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just too much, too emotional.
Right. So Alex is magically fixed, and so Myriad can be fixed. By the feels, basically. Yeah, because Myriad basically takes away your feels. It's like the equilibrium pill.
Right.
Yeah. It takes away your emotions, and so only by resonating some deep part inside of you will you get those feels back and recontrol your mind.
Yeah, this was so. This is interesting because I really thought that, this would be the main crux of the finale, and this is the threat she would have to defeat at the end of the whole episode, and it kind of was dealt with pretty quickly, more quickly than I thought it would be. So it was like, okay, clearly the big climax is going to be something else, and we got there, but. Yeah, so this was dealt with a little more quickly than I thought, with sort of like giving the speech, giving everyone hope, and having that be where things end. I like that a lot on the one hand because it's very consistent with the message of this show and how Kara is always a beacon of hope throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that a lot. But yeah, it did feel a little bit quick. I would have, like you said before, it left me wanting more.
Yeah, but what was she going to do with a bunch of automatons? Was she just going to, like, punch a couple of civilians? You know what I mean? Like,
that would have been so mean and so fun.
Right. It would have been awful. So, Lee fun. So, but, like, that doesn't... Because they're not stronger when they're drones or anything like that. They're just drones.
Stronger and, together, Tim.
Yeah, but they're just drones.
yes.
And so, there's nothing for her to do to them to create a full conflict. Apart, you know, there's an emotional conflict, like, what do? I can't hurt these people, blah, blah, blah. But there's no, like, you're watching a superhero show. At the end of the day, you want to see them punch somebody. So I kind of liked the way it broke up. We got some action, and you got a lot of emotional beats, and then we got some more action, and then we got a mystery, you know, like...
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was different than I expected. And
yeah.
It was
totally different than I expected
mm-hmm.
as well. What did you think of her actual speech?
Remember when Superman and Superman IV, The Quest for Peace goes to the UN?
I try not to, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was the best one of that series.
Hush now. Go away. Why are you here? Yeah.
Clearly the best was Supergirl with Helen Slater, but, you know, whatever.
Yes.
No, it reminded me a bit of that, at least in tone. You know, this aspirational, like, we can be better, we can do better. It reminded me of that in tone.
I did write in my notes. I said the speech for hope is quintessential Superman family.
Absolutely.
Storytelling.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Like, there's no... This scene is what Superman needed to say in Batman v Superman before at the committee hearing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the bit that was missing from that scene, but instead he just looked sad. And then stuff happened and he looked sadder.
He would have said that, then you would have called Supergirl a cheater for stealing his speech.
No, I never would call her that because she's lovely.
Yeah, Tim is blinded by the light.
Oh, we all are.
Yeah, that's
blinded
true.
By myriad.
Oh.
A myriad of feelings. Anyway.
So, I'm blinded by how much I miss Kelly. Is that her name? Yeah.
Kelly. Yeah.
Totally.
Poor Kelly.
My grief has blinded me to what her real name is.
I really hope they have a nice memorial for her somewhere in Cot Plaza.
No, they don't.
No. Nope.
They don't. Just the stain. That's her memorial.
Oh.
So. Indigo's pretty sinister. Would you arguably more sinister than Non? Because he's like, the plan didn't work. And she's like, okay, well, we could just kill everyone on the planet. And he was like, yeah, all right, sounds good.
It's weird. And obviously we know when it happened. But throughout the season, Non always seemed to be the worst of the two. Between him and
Astra.
Mm-hmm. And then when Astra dies, Non starts softening a little, it seems.
Softening by grief, sort of. I think he starts softening after
Indigo takes
the Black
over
Mercy
the Non
because
role.
He start well he, no actually no he did kind of he was kind of soft because instead of just like going up to Kara and like ripping out her throat or whatever, he's like, I'll give you this fun fantasy with an alien on your chest. And, you know,
I saw that
stuff. Yeah. somebody else talk. Why am I?
Yes, she is much more sinister. I think she's a better villain than Non. But it just seemed to be weird that Non kind of became the Astra role, whereas I want to do this, but I don't want to go as far as the other person wants to go. And I feel Non was at that spot earlier in the season.
He was carrying out her mission to completion, but once that mission plan went up, he was kind of like, well, I don't have a plan B. So
always have a plan B.
Yeah.
Always have a plan B.
I think that's it. Indigo is good for plan B.
That's a good observation. I think that's spot on, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she really did. She was egging him on now. You know, the one who was saying, like, if you don't do this, I will. We got to take over the galaxy now. Just one planet isn't enough.
Exactly. So we get a new little crane. We get a crane shot of Katko inside the office. And I was like, hey, this place is actually quite big, because you ever get a high angle shot.
It is a plaza. That's true.
And so what?
It is a plaza.
Didn't know the building inside the office, not the outside. It's not an establishing shot. Learn cinematography.
I know what
I'm talking about.
But the building is big. I don't know why you would think it is not.
It doesn't. It never. Shut up. We're going over here.
Now we're seeing the full scope of it. Like you're seeing the full. Like you're getting the full. Like, ooh, like they had some money for this shot.
Yes, they were able to put a camera 5 feet higher than they normally do
on a crane.
Yes,
very good.
That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah. That was very nice. I liked it. James is the smoothest, not smooth talker ever, right?
Oh my god!
Because he's like, "Hey, we should talk about that." You know, the talk,
the thing that happened.
You know, like, oh, the thing that happened. And one's like, the thing that happened that doesn't involve me. I think I'll just go. I have other things that I could do.
Right?
You know, it's like, and then he's just like, "We kissed." Like, what are you, 12?
Yeah, yeah, I know, right.
Yes.
Yeah, we kissed. In your mom's house, like, they didn't, you know.
It was her house.
Right? It's a joke. Why are you here?
To hold your feet to the flame on your bad comments.
No, why are you here? Get out. This is my house. Yeah, so he remembers part of the kiss.
Yes, clearly.
So know what that doesn't do, though? It does not excuse him for his bad kissing skills. Frank and I chalked up that his bad kiss to Myriad, but if he's like, you remember part of it.
Oh, yeah, then he's a horrible kisser.
He's just a horrible kisser.
Which is why she's like, oh, you should go and be happy without
go
me.
Be happy. She's like, nah, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, because we were kind of like, wow, he was just sort of, like, limp. He was, like, just barely present for that kiss. And I thought for sure he would not remember it.
Well, Alex said that she remembered, like, she was
buried deep within herself.
A prisoner.
Right.
But, yeah, it was funny because that was the same comment we made when they were kissing, and we thought it was a chemistry thing. And then it turns out it's Myriad.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, doesn't excuse it.
No, it doesn't. So we get some. We also get some tender General Lane, Lucy Lane moments. You know, like, oh, Dad, you came. And he's like, of course I did, because I am the best dad in the world, except I'm not, because I'm General Lane.
His mug would say different.
Give me a hug. What?
His mug would say different.
His mug is a liar.
Wow.
57th best dad in the world, General Lane. Like, yeah. So, actually, in all the dads in the world, if you were 57th best dad,
that's
still
pretty
good. Statistically.
You cracked the top 100.
Yeah,
doing pretty good,
still
actually.
Still doing pretty well for himself. We also get a nice shot of Superman's feet, which we alluded to before. Why is Superman out still? Nobody knows.
Well, It's getting a little like...
Because the plot demands it.
Yeah. Well, no, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not upset with Superman not being part of the story.
No, that doesn't bother me either. But it's like going through great lengths to make sure he's not part of the story.
You know what? I like that.
Well, I like him not being in the story. I like it being Kara's story. I like him not being able to help her. What It just seems they're being very, very on the nose about, like, oh, well, he tried, but he couldn't, or he's off-world, or, like, I feel like...
Just be, like, off-world. I don't even mind him having being incapacitated and they'd be like, we don't know why it's affecting him differently than everybody else. Maybe because it's Kryptonian physiology with human brain patterns, and it's, you know, it's crisscrossing or whatever. That's all well and fine. Mm-hmm. I get all that. But then when he doesn't come back at the end... where he's just like, she wakes up and he's already gone. He's like, I got better, so I left. I'll just send her a text message later.
Well, yeah. He has to. He has a job.
He's such a dude.
Perry's wondering where Clark is. He needs to get back to work.
No, he's probably in Kansas.
To me, I would rather not see him at all, and I would rather not see his boots in the back of the frame.
I know. See, the difference is that I really liked seeing his boots.
I did, too. I thought it was a nice wink and chuckle.
It was a light moment. Me seeing his boots, though, I thought maybe he's the face that, like, she wakes up to, you know, and, like, nobody knew they cast Superman, and she wakes up, and he's like, you did good, kid, you know.
It's gonna happen eventually.
Nah, probably. So... we also learned from Lucy that General Lane pushed Lois away. She's like, you're pushing me away just like you did to Lois.
Ayo.
You know, it's fine. You know, kind of assumed.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a tool bag, so, you know.
He's always a tool bag.
He's a general, so he's like a Home Depot. Yeah.
Wow.
Got elevated. So, no disrespect to Home Depot. I like Home Depot. Do not like General Lane. So, Eliza Danvers also learns that her husband is alive, right? And she's like, what? How could this be? He was dead. And everyone was like, woman, we are in a comic book show. Obviously, somebody who is dead is now alive again.
Which seemed very out of place that they would call attention to the fact that they were in a comic show.
Yeah, well, you know, since Deadpool came out, everything's just trying to be meta.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it was good. I liked her finding out. I'm hoping this leads to an expanded role for her in the sub-story, The Search for Jeremiah, Season 2.
Supergirl 2, The Search for More Money. Yeah.
For more Jeremiah.
For more Jeremiah. Dean Cain. Yes, right. Frank, give us your thoughts.
Well, on what of the things you just touched on in particular?
I don't know.
The boots.
No, the boots, General Lane, Eliza, all the things.
Okay, General Lane I thought was... I liked seeing him warm up a little bit. Even though he did push Lois away, that was interesting. But I liked seeing the... because I feel like General Lane is always just sort of irrationally anti-Superman, whatever... always, like, in recent portrayals of him anyway, if you've read the comics in the last, like, 10 years or so, he's always like, man, I don't trust him. I don't trust those aliens at all. And very much on this show, he's been that way, and I liked seeing him not be so irrational and be like, all right, well, obviously we need to team up here because that's the only way anything's going to get done. So I appreciated that. Eliza, what can I say? I love Helen Slater, so I always love a chance to see her, and it was cool seeing her with Kat, you know, in the TV studio and stuff like that, like seeing these characters. I was like seeing these characters and actors get together who normally you'd never see together. Like when I would never have guessed that I was going to see a scene ever with Calista Flockhart and Helen Slater in the same scene. And yet there we have it. So that kind of stuff is cool to me.
Wonderful.
That's my take on it.
Cool. So Maxwell Lord then comes in. He's like, guys, I discovered that Myriad is not kind of dead yet, and it's going to make everyone's brains explode like the end of, spoilers, Kingsman the Secret Service.
I was just about to finish watching that movie tonight.
You're lying to me.
Spoiler alert.
He is lying to me. I can tell when Palmer's lying to me because he said words at me.
Yeah,
therefore Palmer is lying.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, that's kind of devious.
It is. Know,
actually.
Like, haha, you won. Now die by a headache.
Right.
Right.
This is pretty severe. We've seen other things like that before, like the end of X2, X-Men United, the second X-Men movie. They pretty much all dying from a headache, you know, all that stuff. It's pretty devious. As anybody knows, migraines or headaches or whatever, they're pretty terrible and not a great way to go.
Yeah, death by migraine is always my number one fear.
Yeah. And so...
No, it's not.
No, I was going to roll with it. I mean, I assumed that you were telling the truth because Frank is a truth teller.
Nah.
Unlike Palmer.
Wow.
Vasquez gets her first of many lines this episode. I was very happy.
She was very chatty this episode.
She was very chatty. She had a lot. She wasn't like she's in the corner like, oh my God, can you believe that Supergirl wears like that shade of blue? You know, that's chatty, you know, or gossipy or kind of mean. This was more like, sir, ma'ams.
Yeah.
Ma'ams. Ma'ams right this way. Supergirl wants to talk to you, ma'am. You know.
Vasquez really realized that it was the season finale and she needs to show that she needs to be back next season.
Oh, she'll be back. She'll be back.
I hope so.
Hope the rest of them will be too. Just Supergirl Vasquez starring show. Vasquez.
She takes over the show. Vasquez. Cost cutting measure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The DEO goes from being like five people to just Vasquez.
Okay, so this is the moment kind of where the show takes a new spin and Kara kind of goes on her like walkabout, like telling everybody goodbye but not telling everybody goodbye, right? Mm-hmm. It kicks off with Maxwell Lord, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It kicks off with this guy who has tried to kill her multiple times, will definitely try to kill her again, you know, and it's just going to keep going and going and going and going.
Like the Energizer Bunny. Like just the going Energizer and Bunny. Going
Maxwell
going.
Lord.
Yes.
Max Batteries.
He'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Unless his new show gets picked up.
Mm.
It will not. He'll be back.
We'll see. I do like this goodbye tour she goes on. And I find all the visits interesting. But yeah, she starts with Lord.
He kind of starts with her.
Yeah, good
you know,
point. Yeah.
He's because she doesn't say to him, you know, you're really a great guy. And I know we've had our differences, but I'm really going to miss you. You know, like she doesn't say that to him. He's the one that's really like, hey, you know, you are a symbol for hope and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I make some good points and I'm not that terrible of a person, blah, 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 stuff like that. And that kicks her going to, you know, to see Wynn and Kat and what's his face?
James.
Out of those three that she says goodbye to, which one were your favorites, starting with Frank?
Well, the James goodbye was heartfelt. But yeah, actually, I'm going to go with that one. I think that was the my favorite of those, of that set.
Okay, Palmer.
Wynn.
Wynn was your favorite?
Wynn was my favorite. I feel they, throughout the season, I've liked their dynamic and I thought they have the best connection. Although I did really like Kat's.
No, you can't go back. You have to choose
interaction. One. But no, I would choose Wynn.
Excellent. Well, my favorite one is Kat, so I'm glad that we got all the bases covered.
Hey, here we go.
We got all the bases covered. I like that Kat was like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're doing, like, what are you, dying? Like, suicide note? Like,
right.
You know, am I dying? You know?
I figured you're going to pick that one. And I did like how your mind subconsciously ended that conversation when we were watching it. And she says, Kira, your mind implanted Kara because you went back and listened to
it. I did.
Twice.
I went back and I thought she said at the end of the thing, I thought she said, whatever.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara, whatever. And she said, Kira. Or Kara, or something like that. But I was like, oh, that would have been the perfect time to say Kara. I was wrong. The end of this episode was the perfect time to say Kara. But I was pretty close.
Future telling again.
Yeah, I was a future teller. I can see 40 minutes into the future on television.
You're very good at
just
that.
On
it's
Supergirl.
Very, it's a very unhelpful skill, I assure you. It does not get me any fame, notoriety, or money.
Very true. The one thing I will say in all of the interactions, I love how human she looks. And it's weird when you're talking about it because it's obviously a human playing Kara. But
That has been confirmed or denied by the U.S. State Department.
But she just looks much more human than she ever has in the show.
Frank, comment on that.
I think that's a really interesting point, Palmer. I actually hadn't thought about that, but I know exactly what you mean as soon as you say it. Because, yeah, she really was much more human in a number of ways. Her emotions, her attachment to everybody, the way she was acting was, yeah, she was very, very human. And very, very, I guess, in touch with her human side, right? Or in touch with her humanity, which is something that I guess that's kind of what Supergirl's journey is all about, is sort of, you know, she remembers Krypton more than Kal-El does. And so her journey is becoming more and more human, whereas Kal-El is, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, sort of raised human.
Yeah, he went through that journey as we all did.
Right, exactly. But she's learning it as an adult, and having to sort of, you know, in some ways unlearn her Kryptonian-ness and become more human. So, yeah, I think in a lot of ways she exemplified that in this episode.
She's also technically in this episode fulfilling her original goal, because her goal was to protect Kal-El as a baby when he is incapacitated. And now as an adult, when he is incapacitated and going to die, she is actually doing what she had originally set out to do when she was 12 or 13 or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I like that. I did think it was weird that when she was talking to Jean in the DEO, though, where she's, like, in the room and she's like, you know, I'm going to save the people. And he's like, oh, you're saying goodbye to people. And she's like, blah, 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 all this stuff. She doesn't, like, reference Superman at all or even, like, look at him. Like, she walks right by him, talks to Jean, and they leave. And not once does she, like, good luck, Kal. I hope you feel better. If you hear my
voice, pull out of that coma.
I'm going to save. She doesn't even like tap him on the foot. Like, good job, buddy. You tried. You know,
and you failed. Luckily, yeah. I'm here.
Yeah, like there's nothing. There's no like. He might as well not have been there. Like,
he really
it's
wasn't.
Almost like he was. It's almost like it was a mannequin in a Superman suit.
They only made casts of legs.
Yeah.
There's no body attached to that.
She walks in. She's like, oh, isn't it weird that there's just some legs here wearing boots?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was a little weird. That's all I was saying before. Just having his boots there was like,
I mean, I like that they were there, and I like, but I felt
but
that
no
it was like weird that she doesn't,
so weird.
She doesn't acknowledge him. Because Lucy acknowledges him.
Yes,
and because they talk about him and everything like that, but she makes no, like, psh, I don't need you. I don't need your boot.
Girl
my
power.
Boots are better than yours because mine go up to the knee. You know, like, there's nothing. Nothing,
yeah,
nothing,
I thought that
nothing.
Was a little off, but that's just me.
Yeah. So the aliens are hanging out. They've been at Fort Roz this whole time, which
we kind of knew.
I feel like that wasn't a mystery.
No.
It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be.
To them, not to us.
Yeah. Frank, did you think that they were there the whole time?
Fort Roz, yeah. But, I mean, we saw Fort Roz in the season premiere, in the pilot.
Right.
And we saw Vroldox coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I...
No, not Vroldox.
Vartox.
Yeah.
Sorry. I sort of assumed it was there. I didn't realize that not many people knew it was there.
Yeah, I like that they, like, you try moving a, you know, 4 million pound, 4 million ton thing into somewhere. And as soon as General Lane said that, I was like, she's going to lift the thing into space.
Yep. Like, yep. But I just didn't realize, you know, like, and it makes sense. It makes total sense. But they made it seem in the pilot that, like, oh, all the, because I saw you saw Vartox coming towards the camera, and you saw all these others in the background. At least I thought I was seeing this. All these others aliens like scattering in the background. So I thought, oh, okay, Fort Roz crash landed there. Everyone has you know run all over the planet, and this is going to be the mission of the show, is to like find and round up all these villains, right?
Which they had been doing before. Yeah.
But the one thing I didn't get was that not a lot of people knew it was there. I assumed like, oh well, I guess everyone knows where this thing crash landed on the planet, but I guess it had been somehow kept hidden, and it's an absolutely good point. Like, well, yeah, of course it didn't move. Like, who was going to, how else are you going to move it?
Mm-hmm. With Supergirl.
Exactly.
Or Superman.
And that scene of her lifting that thing reminded me very much of Superman Returns.
Flash it forward, yeah. Way to jump to the big moment, but yes. Yeah.
He's got it written in, like, large, the entire page, Superman Returns.
I did not write that once. See, everything Palmer says is a lie. I really didn't, though. That's, no, I hate you, but they'll never know.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I did, before we were recording.
Right.
So let's back up for a second, Superman Returns, friends. Like, goodness gracious, let's rewind the cassette player and go all the way back to John and Supergirl. You shush. John and Supergirl going like, oh, we gotta go stop them. And Supergirl's like, take my necklace for the reasons. Because you need to give it back to me later in this episode, so take it now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Frank, do you know what I'm talking about?
I just don't know why you're...
Yeah, I follow.
Yeah,
it was an emotional moment, Tim.
It would be if she had ever called attention to the necklace in the 19 episodes before this one.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, moments like that, like, the necklace has no emotional significance to us for 19 episodes, and now you take it off and say, like, give this back to me later?
I don't think it's the necklace that's supposed to have the emotional significance. It's the keepsake. If I don't come back, you have this to remember me by.
Yeah, and all those pictures we took of one another when we were kids.
No, those vanish.
And those memories. Probably all those television shows we watched together, and probably some of the food in your digestive tract at this very moment, because we eat together all the time. You know what I mean? Like, there's just... I get it. I get the point, but there's just... You know... It's unnecessary.
I was gonna...
Unnatural. Yeah. I feel the same way you do, Tim, when they introduce these things that are supposed to have emotional significance, but we've never seen them before or since. And so, like, it's just sort of like, this object is imbued with significance. This necklace, this matters, but you've never seen it before, but just trust us on this. I prefer to be, shown over time and not just told, but, mm-hmm. There were things about this episode overall, this was just one thing that felt a little bit like they were hoping or planning on having, maybe a couple more episodes. I think Palmer, you mentioned this before too, and I agree with you. It seemed like they thought maybe they had one or two episodes more than this. Maybe they thought they had a 22 order. And so when they found out it was 20, they had to kind of make some things happen a little more quickly. And so maybe some of the things, the pacing that felt a little odd may have been a result of that. I'm totally speculating on that. I have no information to support that. I'm just guessing that it kind of seems like maybe they thought they'd have more time.
That is possible. Yeah, that's possible. It's also possible that they tried to wrap some stuff up to not leave too many dangling threads for season two in case they mm-hmm. didn't get picked up. You know, it was like, sure, a just in case we'll close all these stories. You know, we won't leave too much hanging out there.
Right. Just a couple things.
Just enough to let the adventure continue on if
just
we wanted to.
Just one giant thing.
Yeah, just one giant thing. Yeah. So Jean and Supergirl fly to, to Fort Ross in Nevada, and they're met by Nan and Indigo. And she's like, where's your army? And they're like, oh, they're already asleep in the pods. And I was like, you are the worst general in the entire world. Like, they're like, obviously, you're going to fight two superpowered beings who you have failed time and again to win against, to defeat. And mm-hmm. now is your big moment where you have a bunch of aliens where they could beat each other up. And he's just like, now we already put them to bed. He's by.
Well,
Betty Bonnie.
This is why Nan was always a second banana.
Yeah, this is why Astra was in command.
Tactical was not his forte.
Astra was an apple. Nan was a banana.
And Indigo is a blueberry.
No, you have to go to the C. Blue. She was a cantaloupe. You have to go A, B, C.
There are no blue cantaloupes.
All right. I hate you. God. So, Frank, what did you think of the fight?
The fight was actually, I thought, was a pretty cool fight. I thought that Jean being involved and all of that was super cool. Getting to see the two Jean and Supergirl team up was really cool. There was some good teamwork where they were like, you know, like throwing Nan and Indigo around, and the other one would catch them, and like there was some good. They were following each other's footsteps there.
Yeah, I really liked the fight. There were a couple of really cool shot angles where there was like a medium close up of Kara like laying into Nan in midair, and the camera was kind of spinning around them. That was really cool. I liked that, and I loved when Jean tore Indigo in half.
Yeah,
yes,
that was amazing.
That was super cool, especially because I thought Indigo had him on the ropes there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he got stabbed and all that twice. I think she stabbed him in the exact same spot.
Oh yeah,
actually, as he got stabbed the previous episode.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, he's tough. He can handle it.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah. For Nan, you know, Supergirl and Nan did their, like...
stare down.
Yeah, their Harry and Voldemort meet in the cemetery duel with the wands. And by the wands, I mean their eye blasts. Mm-hmm. Guys, non-Harry Potter fans don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, muggles.
You muggles. So, do you think that Nan is dead or just blind?
He's blind.
You think what?
I think he's blind.
You think he's blind?
Yeah.
I saw an interesting theory online. What if he was lobotomized and that's how he becomes like the sort of brain dead version of Nan that we see in Superman and the movie?
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Isn't that?
I don't think that's how lobotomy works, but sure.
It does if you're a Kryptonian.
It's a comic book show. You know, I could buy it. You know, I could see that. I thought it was interesting theory anyway.
That would be cool, though it would diminish him as a villain, because then he's just a brute, you know. Now he's a general that's not very good at generaling.
Right, so he should just go to be a brute.
Just be a brute.
He should be he should be the muscle, the heavy.
If he's a brute who has who wants to get revenge on Supergirl for making him this way, that's pretty cool. If he's the muscle to someone else's brains.
Yeah. Like Indigo.
But Indigo.
Like Indigo?
Is, yeah, she's a brainiac. She's coming back. She's definitely not dead.
Indigo brainiac is disassembled.
What?
Indigo is disassembled.
Yeah.
Some assembly required.
Yeah. She'll be fine. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. You run a comic store, sir.
I do.
You know Brainiac's come back.
I know. And I hope she does. I love Laura.
She will. She will. Alex and Kara have the most touching moments of all touching moments, I think, in
just
this episode.
Constantly.
The moments are theirs.
Those
so many
two
tears.
Sisters. Yeah.
You know, like, I gotta go into space. I gotta bring this thing into space. And Alex is like, but there's no gravity or air. How will you get back? You know, and she's like, I will fly back because I am Supergirl.
Right.
How does Superman travel around in space?
It varies from incarnation to incarnation.
Right. So how does he travel around in this one? Because we've had a Superman's dealing with something in space, you know, sideline. So does he have like a little rocket ship and rocket suit like he had in the animated series?
I think he has an actual space suit like we've seen him have in the past. Or if it's just in close proximity, you know, it's the Lois and Clark thing of he can hold his breath for an X amount of time.
Right. Well, but Alex's thing is that she can't create any thrust in space on her own because there's no atmosphere. So she wouldn't be able to propel herself in space. She wouldn't be able to fly back down to Earth's orbit.
This is one of those things
that's the actual dilemma. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that I don't think was really necessary to discuss that much, to be honest, because it just, I don't know. He flies just because he can. How does he fly on Earth either? Like, it, you know,
well,
there's like, there's been explanations of, oh, his density is different, or he's, you know, has anti-gravity, whatever. He can fly. It's, you know, and she can fly, and it's
right,
just,
right,
they
right.
fly.
That's all well and fine, but if the dilemma is that you know, like the crux, the emotional core of the story is, or whatever, that she's sacrificing herself, she's not going to be able to get back, then there has to be a conversation on, like, how does she fly? Otherwise,
well,
she could just, you could be like, well, you could just fly back down to Earth's atmosphere.
You know what? We haven't seen her go into space.
Yeah, we did. We watched it in this episode.
In this episode we did. But we haven't seen it prior.
That's right.
So she's going by just general knowledge. She thinks this is how it's supposed to be.
Okay.
And that's enough of an emotional catalyst. And we find out that she can do at least some things. She's mm-hmm. able to at least leave, you know, the gravitational pull of Earth to push that far enough behind so Fort Rod doesn't come crashing back down in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think
she can do it. She can do it to an extent. She just can't be out there the entire time just tooling around.
Right.
That's good enough for me, honestly. She gets up there and she can't fly back. Like, just knowing, like, we're being told, okay, she's not able to fly back. Like, okay, that's fine. I'll buy it. Like,
yeah,
I don't need a whole explanation of physics.
I think you're both getting me wrong. I buy all that, too. That's all well and fine. I just want to know, if Superman goes into space, I want to know how he does it out of pure curiosity.
He's because
I'm like, well, if Superman can do it, she can. It's more like, I just want to know because I want to round out my headcanon.
He's gotten more solar radiation into him, so he can do it.
Sure.
Sure, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah, that works.
So all the budget was spent on Fort Roz.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
The thing was amazing looking.
Yes.
All the budget was spent on it spinning into space because it looked real cool. Looked very cool. And there was a very glorious wide shot of her floating in space.
Yep.
Also felt like, now we can talk about it, Superman Returns.
But you know what? Before we do that, I want to take a quick second here and talk about our friends over at In Stock Trades. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to make you wait for it. There's going to be a cliffhanger to come back on the other side to find out what we have to say about Superman Returns and this Fort Roz moment. I want to say, In Stock Trades has been a great sponsor of ours this whole season. And thanks so much to these guys, In Stock Trades and DCBService.com. For being a great source of comic books for those of us who want to get our comics delivered right to our home. They're an awesome, awesome place to get both those done, whether it's a trade paperback, a hardcover, or a weekly single issue comic. These are great places to go. This week, I want to talk about the Girl in the World, volume 2 of the New 52 Supergirl run. By Michael Green and Mike Johnson, with Mahmoud Asrar, and also some art by George Perez too, just to round it out. This run had some interesting stories, some interesting run-ins with characters that we know from the show, and some that we're not so familiar with that haven't made it into the show one way or another, but. We see some Silver Banshee stuff, some interesting stuff with all of her family and all of her clan. So a good solid trade of 144 pages, $15 would be a totally fair price. In fact, that's what it retails for in many places. But 45% off at InStockTrades.com. It is $8.24. That's Supergirl Volume 2, Girl in the World. If you want to get your digital comic thing on too, that's totally cool. You can do that at dcbservice.com. And every time you go through their portal to buy your digital comics, you can, get 5% back on all your, Comixology or My Digital Comics purchases and, get 5% back to spend at, DCB Service the next time. So, check them out, instocktrades.com and DCB Service as in discountcomicbookservice.com. And thanks very much to both those guys for, sponsoring the podcast. So Superman Returns moment. Yeah, she throws that she throws Fort Roz out into space, and it totally looks like when Superman is throwing the Kryptonite Island into space in Superman Returns. It very much reminded me of that. In fact, I kind of expected her to fall back to Earth and make a crater the same way he did.
I did too, but boom, nope, she was saved by Alex, the real hero of the story. I just threw my arms up to make a huge point.
And then realized that we're not in a visual medium.
No. Podcasting is not a visual medium.
Yet.
Vodcasting is a visual medium. That's a different thing.
Is that where you have vodka while you drink, while you do a podcast? Because
why have we not done this, Frank?
We call it Beer with Geeks. We do it all the time.
Yeah, but
it's not called vodka.
It's
with
not
geeks.
Vodka.
That can be arranged.
Vodcasting with vodka. Vodcasting.
I can arrange that.
Yeah.
Here's a good kiss.
Get on it.
All right, you bunch of nerve herders. Anyway.
Who's scruffy looking?
So, me. I'm scruffy looking because I'm on vacation.
Heyo.
Hey. So, Alex saves her in the pod. Alex is the best pilot in the world. She's like, I can hop in this alien ship. I got this. No problem. Figured out how to drive. Went into space. Found her. Came back. Greatest pilot of all time. Take that,
no.
Harrison Ford.
Actually, there's just a button that says go to Kara.
No.
She just...
No, it does not. It says go to Cal.
GPS.
Yeah. GPS. GPS on Krypton's world. Go, yeah. Go to where you need to go to.
Yep.
Yeah, that, hit that button. So General Lane has been talking to President Linda Carter.
yes.
As we know, Linda Carter will be on season two.
Yep. If she will be on season two.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe there's a season two.
Yeah, right?
Well, otherwise, why are you casting?
Yeah. Why are you casting and coming up with plot developments that you're talking about if it's not if you're not releasing it?
We had heard this rumor, and I had thought that it was meant to be in season one still, that we'd see her in the finale. But yes, there was a rumor that Linda Carter was cast for something in Supergirl, but then it hasn't happened yet. So presumably, yeah, season two is when it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
They're so confident that even if they don't get a season two here, they will somewhere else.
That's very possible.
Which I fully see happening.
Nah.
I fully expect a season two one way or another.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere. It'll be somewhere in my brain and on my television.
Worst case is I'll shoot it in the basement.
All right. Okay, you do that. I don't have a basement, so good luck. So the president has pardoned John of all his non-existent crimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you've gotten a full pardon. I was like, pardoned for what?
Well,
for being from another planet?
He was an outlaw and attacked government officials, technically. You know.
I guess. So, I mean, maybe he was posing as a government official
or
whatever.
Yeah, that is, I guess, you know, not good either. So, sure, all those things, whatever. He gets pardoned, and he makes this great speech about, you know, nothing, no more secrets, nothing in the shadows. But I loved that it said no more secrets. We got a nice edit and showed Maxwell Lord and General Lane with the Omega Hedron. And I was like, yeah, you're going to make some OMAX with that.
Yeah, he is.
Definitely going to make some OMAX. Calling it now.
I am with you. Mm-hmm. I had the same thought. I am totally with you.
Yep. So he also says that, like, because, like, he gets reinstated as director of the DEO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep. And
Lucy's like, thank you. You know, I was just
okay. Doing
my job. And one, you're the interim director, Lucy.
Right.
So get your head on straight. Two.
We used up all the budget flying Fort Ross out into space, so we can't afford you.
Yeah. No, but it sounded like they're co-directors now. Did anybody get that impression?
Mm. That's just to make her feel better.
No, I think they're co-directors now.
No.
I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but I really got the feeling that he was reinstated as director.
Right, but then he was like, you did such a great job.
It's like
that we'll be partners.
You'll always have a place here. Now leave forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But only in spirit, not actually get out
right.
of here.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I'll be curious, but somebody go out back and rewatch it. That's not me, because I know I kind of already have a sense of, I thought it's what it sounded like to me.
I know what you're saying. I could see that point of view. I didn't get that, but I can see that too.
Yeah. We'll see. So the DEO is going to be off and kicking and rocking again. I really thought Jean was going to die this episode. I'm really glad that he didn't.
Yep.
Same.
Yep. And so everything goes back to normal, you know. Kara goes back to her desk at CatGo. She is somehow miraculously still not fired. We think that a box plops down and Kat packs up her sandwich, which I think was actually my favorite part of this episode. Did you see her reaction when Kat packs everything up and Kara kind of goes, "Oh, my," just like
my sandwich.
Yeah,
it was like Joey on Friends.
Yeah.
Joey doesn't share food.
Yeah. I was trying to save the sandwich. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Kara gets a promotion to what exactly is she promoted to, Frank? Yeah.
Associate senior vice assistant director of special projects.
It's the weirdest promotion in the world. Like, you're gonna get promoted. I'm not gonna pay you any extra. But you get to choose your own job title and what the hell that you do here.
To be fair, that is so Kat. Congratulations, you have a promotion. You're not getting any more money.
Yeah, right. That is Kat. But it's like, to be like, here is this promotion that you can, like, decide what you think is best, and I will give you that job.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more it just makes sense in my brain, because now she can come up with any sort of job description she wants that allows her not to be in her office when she needs to be doing Supergirl
things. Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
And absolutely. Being able to keep the job.
She can't fly out her window, though. Because she doesn't have one.
That is true.
She could.
No, she doesn't have one.
No, Kat does say, you know, if you do good, there could be a window in your future.
That's true. She does say that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that right now then. So they have that little moment about Working Girl, starring Harrison Ford.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Why are you here? Well, you spat. Why are you here? Who invited you? Frank, why did you invite Palmer? Yeah. God. Just ruining all the fun things.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah. So she says, you know, if you work hard, you might get a window in your future. Kara. Woo.
Mm.
The moment that I thought was going to happen a half an hour before, this moment happened now.
La, la, la.
And it's nice.
It is.
It's nice.
It's a nice, tender moment.
Do you think she's going to forget by next season to call her Kara?
Yes.
Do you think that's a weird, like, I don't know, like, hazing thing that she does with all her assistants?
Yes.
That are not Siobhan?
No, true. That's true.
Just when she has one assistant.
I think that Siobhan was a ploy anyway to motivate Kara, so I think that that's different.
Mm.
But I do think that she doesn't dignify people by calling them by their real name unless she respects them.
Yeah.
And or if she thinks that she can, you know, motivate them more by fake disrespecting them, because in reality she does respect them, but she doesn't want them to know she respects them, so she sort of motivates them by making them feel like they have to earn her respect. So yeah, I feel like it's a tactic. I think it's a tactic.
Say respect one more time.
Respect.
I respect that you asked me to do that, but no. Respectfully, I no.
California sustains. Oh no, what is it? New York
abstains
courteously. That's it. Thank you. So what an interesting job. Good for them. They have more moments. Excellent. Moving on to one of the final scenes of the show. John Jones is wearing an apron. It was the greatest moment of my life. Anybody else catch that?
They're
setting plates, and John Jones is like, I'm cooking up a meal because I'm John Jones. Hope y'all like cookies.
I hope it's not a gas stove.
I know. It's gazpacho because I can't be near a flame.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an electric stove, we're good.
It's fishy swassa. It's supposed to be cold. Fantastic. So, all the tender moments, and James is his very uncasual, Gar, can I talk to you for a second over here? Like, yeah, what are you going to do over there?
Uncasual or very casual?
Well, he's like cool, not cool, James. Oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay,
like,
okay. Yes.
Cool, obviously cool, James.
Yes,
And he gives her a nice picture of Supergirl with a lowercase s, because it's actually a picture of Kara.
But it was a nice statement, right? Of like, oh, I think you're super even when you're not being Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. Great statement. Why do you want a picture of yourself framed?
I like looking at myself.
Yeah, but you're a weird person.
A very handsome person.
Mm.
Kara's very...
Handsome.
Very handsome.
Yeah.
He's a very handsome man.
Kind of backed myself in the corner
yeah.
on that one.
Yeah, he did.
It was James's last-ditch effort to be like, no, we should be going out. You told me to go love somebody else, because no.
Yeah, well, she told him to go love somebody else, so she was, like, pushing away because she thought she was going to die. But then she didn't.
Right.
So she was okay with the fact that he kissed her a little bit better this time than he did last time.
Yeah.
A little.
A little, right? But it's still not great, right?
No. Nope.
That's because she should be with Wynn.
Yes.
Are you still on this?
Yep.
Yeah, well, she wow. should be with not
Kim
James.
Or Wara? Like, what's the...
Wara.
What's the stripper name?
Yeah.
Winara?
Winara.
Wink?
No.
Winkara.
No.
Winkara.
Winara.
You tell us, listeners, what do you think? Hmm. What should the shipper name be for? Well, what would I mean? What's Kara and James? Kames?
Bad.
All right, fair. Interesting.
So she just has wrapped this up. She does a little pop champagne thing, and then a meteor or whatever goes by the window, and they're like, uh-oh, I need to go solve this problem. And she goes, and it's an exact replica of the Kryptonian ship that she crashed in. She opens up the thing, blue light shines on her face, credits.
And it's her long-lost twin sister.
So what do we all think it is? Frank, go first.
I think it's another member of the House of L.
Oh, I think it's a cliffhanger. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Bazinga. Okay, no, anyway.
Bazinga.
No, okay, cliffhanger. House of L, explain.
I think it's another member of the House of L. Now, whether that's her mom or dad, or whether it's like, I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I haven't worked out who I think it is exactly yet. But I think it is someone else of a friendly nature. Because it could very well, it could be like Zod or somebody terrible, right? It could be anybody.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I don't think she would be so chill about, like, whoa. Because she was just sort of like, whoa. Not like, oh, my God. You know? So I think it's... I think that it's probably somebody friendly or someone who she doesn't recognize.
Maybe that she doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that it's herself from an alternate future?
So I had that thought, too. Like what if it's young Kal-El? What if it's young Kal-El, like, from another timeline or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be.
Or her younger self.
Could be some blue kryptonite inside a spaceship.
Ooh. Didn't think about that one.
Maybe it's not a person at all. Could be her dad, Cyborg Superman. But I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure Jeremiah is Cyborg Superman.
By the way, when they said, like, oh, yeah, I want to leave this place setting empty for Jeremiah, I was like, isn't it Elijah? Oh, wait, no. That's Jeremiah.
Ba-dum. Yeah. Could be the Eradicator.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Could be a member of the Legion.
Less likely, but cool. Could be Brainiac.
Could be Brainiac. Could be another Brainiac. It could be her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Could be
a number of people or things.
It could be all of those combined into one tiny little box.
Whoa. It could be Doomsday.
Could be a Rubik's Cube.
Could be a mother box.
Could be a lamp.
Could be a leg lamp.
I'm just naming things
around
my room now.
I don't know if they would go this route on the show.
You better
it
not
could
say it,
be Connor.
It could.
Ooh.
Connor, I feel like, requires Superman to show up more than just, hey, here's this text message. You're my hero, Kara. Here's a text message. And then she never responded back to him. Do you think he's nervous? You notice that? Because in the middle of talking to Clark, Kat comes over and puts the box on the table. And so she never finishes that conversation with him.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to circle back to that for a second, though.
Okay.
What Palmer just said.
Go ahead.
That could be their way of having Superman in the show, but without actually having him be Superman. Like, having Superboy, having Connor.
That's true.
On the show would be an interesting interesting way, or a young Kal-El, like I had said maybe before.
A Kal-El hurt, even if he somehow like growth accelerates and he's her age.
I don't know, that pod looked
pretty decent size. Looked big. Yeah. I think it looked bigger than hers.
Or it could be one of the Kryptonians from Fort Ross.
Well, I just think, you know, I'm trying to go like the, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest answer. And, you know, we've seen the beginning of every episode of this series, right? The, my name is Kara Zor-El, that whole thing.
Yep.
Every single week we see these two identical pods get shuffled off.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, Superman came in one of them. We know that. But if they do some kind of time travel or time bending thing where like, whoa, there's two Clarks and one of them is the young one and one of them is the grown up one. Like that could be the other pod is just, you know, the simple answer is it's the other pod we've been seeing every, you know, we've been seeing this whole time.
Oh.
Just out of time.
But then how would you explain adult Superman being present on Earth then?
I mean, it could be an alternate reality. It could be, you know, the Kal-El of another parallel universe. You could easily, you know, if they wanted to make that happen, they could easily find a way to a wizard.
Maybe a weather wizard.
Could be Peter O'Toole.
Oh man, it's Peter O'Toole with his little Windex bottle.
Yep.
Just and the Omegahedron, which they called by name the Omegahedron this time.
Yes, they did. I don't know. Do you think the writers know what it is? Because, you know, like sometimes, like when they put it like in the season premiere of season four of Arrow, he's at someone's grave. He's at someone's grave site, but they didn't know who was in the grave yet. You know, and it was only through a couple of months later of writing that they determined who it was going to be. Do you think it's that? And they just like, this is a cool way to end. We'll figure it out later.
I like to believe that the writers always know.
Yeah, you are living in a fantasy world.
I know.
I like to believe that, but I think there's a very good chance that they have not decided yet, and they're like, well, we have some options. We'll come back next year and figure out what we want to go with this.
I think they at least have a short list.
The ideas that we batted around.
Right. And then they look for the one that's least talked about, and like, we're going to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. That could be. That could very well be. Yes.
It could also be a ship that morphs, too. You know, like... Maybe it's Lobo, and he made his bike look like a Kryptonian ship. You know, like it doesn't necessarily. Maybe the Kryptonian ship is a camouflage thing. You know, maybe it's a Transformer. I think I just found a Transformer.
So stop much for Occam's razor.
Yeah. Right. Hey. Well, you know, you're over there, and we're over here. So, boo to your Occam's razor.
All right.
Let's wrap up. Let's wrap this up with the Cat Grant quote of the week. Quote of the final episode. Frank, let's start with yours.
Well, there were a number of ones this time. I considered going with just plain Kara as my quote.
Yep.
But I think I'm going to go with, you were more punctual when you were drones.
That was mine.
No.
That was literally the only one I wrote down.
I would have thought you would have. I would have thought you would have wrote down the Gwyneth.
That was
where she's all about Gwyneth now that she's split up with Coldplay.
Nope.
I like that one a lot. Actually, go get me one of those moon juice smoothies with the Chinese herbs that Gwyneth keeps talking about.
But you hate Chinese herbs.
And Gwyneth.
I did enjoy that one quite a bit, but I loved the timely nature and. Big put down of, you remember that time you almost died? Yeah, I liked you better then. Yeah, that's just pretty extraordinary.
It's classic Cat.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is indeed. Palmer, did you have one?
Actually, mine was the same thing that you two.
Yeah, he didn't write him down. He's just lying again.
No.
Big liar. He's a big liar. No, I'm just kidding.
I believe him.
Yeah, I do too.
It was, I mean, there was clearly a standout quote.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we, speaking of standout quotes, so we're in a season wrap up. We would like you, the listeners, send us your favorite Cat Grant quote of the week.
Yeah, throughout the whole season. So if you have them, send them to us, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com, and tell us what your favorite Cat Grant quote of the year was.
That's right. No honorable mentions. You can't pull a Frank where his five favorite things are 11 things. You know, it's what is your one favorite of the season. Think long and hard about it.
One answer per email address.
Yeah. Palmer has his 12 email addresses ready to go.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. So, Frank, take us out.
All right. Well, yeah, we have no spoilers. We have no trailer. We have nothing to sneak peek at next week. So we will be back in a couple of weeks with I think we'll probably have some things to cover, more reactions. Maybe we'll get some other friends of the show on here, people to talk about different aspects of the show. We'll have Supergirl comics and cartoons and other TV appearances to review, take us through the summer and hopefully into season two. So stay tuned as we hopefully do a lot of that and some interviews and other fun stuff as well. But in the meantime, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the Stitcher radio, on the Satchel Media Player, at Supergirl TV Talk at gmail.com, supergirltvtalk.com, at TV Supergirl on Twitter. And actually, Tim, I haven't even told you about this yet, but as of today, as we're recording this, we are now on the Google Play Music store for podcasts, the brand new podcast integration launched there, and you can find us on Google Play. So check us out there as well. But it's been a real honor and pleasure talking to all of you guys this whole season. You know, we had our season zero, we had season one, and now we'll kind of head into, I don't know, what do you call it, season one and a half?
Season 1.5, yeah, it's like Lion King, one and a half.
Exactly.
We'll do.
Oh, God, I hope it's better.
Like, you shut your mouth about a movie I've never actually seen. Yeah.
There you go. Well, it's been a blast. Tim, any final words?
It's been a super good time. Yeah, that's right. Hey, I said it. Took me all season, but I said it.
I think you earned it.
It's been a super good time. But I don't want to say this is goodbye because you know we're going to be back in a couple of weeks. We've got some good stuff coming down the pipeline that we're just excited to share with everybody. So,
absolutely. Thank you so much, Palmer, for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm going to go sit back on my couch where I wait for you guys to call.
All right. Well, thank you for not taking me out. And I'm glad we were able to resolve this peacefully.
Oh, no, Frank, you got a red dot on your forehead.
Bye.
Yeah. Just kidding. It's just tomato sauce.
Yeah, I do that.
I do spread tomato sauce in dot formations on me sometimes. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, I don't want to say goodbye because it feels so final, but
I prefer up, up, and away.